2017 may well go down as the year of the sex scandals. Just in the last couple of months, some powerful men have been accused of sexual harassment, of making unwanted sexual advances, and of not taking no for a no. Well, welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a return guest, but she is going to address this issue. Her name is Julie Royes, and she's the author of a book called Redeeming the Feminine Soul, God's Surprising Vision of Womanhood. So, Julie, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Oh, you bet, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Sure. Okay, now, just yesterday, this will set the scene, I was looking through an article from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution where they were listing just scandals, sex-related scandals, accusations in some cases, of 35 noted men just in the last 2 months. These are Hollywood producers and actors, a senator, a would-be senator, a congressman, newsmen, all followed, fallen, or accused. And the one thing they all have in common is they're all men. So anyway, I want to go ahead and let you wax eloquent on your perspective on these sex scandals.
Well, I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it, Jerry? I mean, how widespread this is. And I think we all knew that this went on with powerful men exploiting and taking advantage of women, and women covering it or not being willing to speak up because, they just didn't feel like they were going to be heard, but also because they're just part of a system where they feel completely disenfranchised. And so, you know, I have mixed feelings about what's going on. There's part of me that feels heartened that it's finally coming to light. Part of me feels sickened when you read some of these accounts of the way that women have been used and abused and then silenced, and some of them even spoke out. I mean, I saw an interview between Barbara Walters and Bette Midler where Bette Midler talked about Matt Lauer assaulting her, and this was like 20 years ago. I don't remember ever even hearing that. I mean, it's like nothing was done about it. It was just like, well, I guess that's what happens. How awful. I'm sorry, not Matt Lauer.
Yeah, you mean Geraldo Rivera. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, right, right. It was Geraldo Rivera.
And he has since apologized.
Said, oh, are we? Yeah. He apologized, but he also made this strange statement when he heard about the Matt Lauer incident. He said that we're criminalizing, he's afraid that women are criminalizing courtship. And I read that, and I was just so shocked, Jerry, because I thought, my goodness, I mean, I may be a little old-fashioned, but to me, courtship doesn't involve locking your door from your desk, locking somebody in your office like Matt Lauer is accused of doing, and then assaulting the women that are inside your office. I mean, that, to me, never was what courting was about, and especially not married women. So it's shocking, it's sickening, but I think there is a sense that maybe finally this will come to light and maybe there will be a change. But one of the things I wrote about recently is that it's also showing how what some people are calling machine feminism, but really the feminism that we know of, that you know, National Organization Women, the Women's March, all these big, powerful, feminist-driven organizations, how back, you know, 20 years ago, whatever, when Bill Clinton was accused of assaulting women, they didn't care about it at all. In fact, they were Betty Friedan, the woman who's credited with launching second-wave feminism. She wrote The Feminine Mystique, you know, and she was supposedly all about championing women. When it came out about the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal with Bill Clinton, she said, whether it's a fantasy, a setup, or true, I simply don't care. Clinton has started the national child care policy and appointed some very strong women. He's also stood firm on abortion. So she didn't care about it at all. And similarly, I remember when Gloria Steinem at the same time wrote this New York Times editorial in 1998, and she basically said that Bill Clinton's groping, alleged groping of Kathleen Wiley, that wasn't sexual harassment. That was merely a gross, dumb, and reckless pass. She basically took things that are definitely sexual harassment, and some of it sexual assault. I mean, we have Juanita Broderick, who said that Bill Clinton actually raped her. That's the allegation. And feminists didn't care at that point because they said, hey, Bill Clinton's our guy. He's championing abortion and some of these other things. And so we're going to be supportive of him. And we're going to look the other way when our powerful men who support our causes abuse other women. And I think that's just shocking, and that's starting to come to light.
Yeah. I remember I interviewed Kathleen Willey one time and read her book and everything, and the tragedy, I mean, the whole thing was tragic, but here she and her husband had volunteered, spent a lot of time helping him to get elected and reelected, and she goes to see him basically to say, you know, we can't keep volunteering without any kind of pay, and we're hurting financially. Is there any way we can get a job? He makes sexual advances on her. Unbeknownst to her, her husband is off literally at the same time, roughly, that very afternoon, and he's killing himself, and he died. And so, you know, it was a tragic, you know, series of events. But I think you're absolutely right. Now, the Roy Moore accusations are hard for me to take because I have known him off and on since 1995, and the accusations don't fit the Roy Moore that I know. And I will say this, you know, we are presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. And I know also that sometimes in politics, sometimes, you know, politicians will play hardball. But there are some situations with the Roy Moore case where it's he said, she said. And as one person pointed out, the only hard evidence of any kind is that yearbook, which Gloria Allred will not release yet to be analyzed, you know, by other experts. But accusations alone are very troublesome, too.
Well, they're troublesome, and I tell you what I find very troublesome, Jerry, is in the Roy Moore situation, it is true that these are separated by decades, right, from when they happened, and there are some issues with them. At the same time, there are multiple women coming forth saying some pretty detailed accounts, so I'm a little more open to saying that there might be, when there's this much smoke, there might be fire, but at the same time, what really troubles me is I have heard multiple people say, from pastors to the governor, saying things like, you know, they might be credible. It might have happened. I've seen them on Facebook, my Facebook comments, even from people commenting on posts I put up saying, you know what, whether he did it or not, I'm going to vote for him anyway. And that to me is shocking. You know, as a mother who has a 15-year-old daughter, I tell you what, if there were a 30-year-old who molested my daughter and assaulted her, I don't care if it's separated by 30, 40 years, you're disqualified from public office for doing that. That is a horrid, horrible thing to do. And I think as Christians, we need to not have a double standard when it comes to people that are part of our tribe, so to speak. I think we need to apply those standards equally. Again, there are different situations with each one of these cases, but I do get really troubled when I hear people saying they're willing to overlook these things, even if they're true.
Do you think, moving on to other issues related to the whole sex scandal story, do you think that it's likely that in the months to come, there'll just be more of this, you know, just like one domino after another falling? More prominent people falling.
I think so, because what's happening is I think for the first time women are feeling emboldened. And they're feeling like it'll make a difference if I complain. And so what we're realizing is that there's just been a mountain of things that have happened. And so now that the trickle has started, it'll probably be an avalanche. My guess is there will probably be some abuse of that as well. They're probably, and this happens every time, isn't it? And that's where you feel a little bit reluctant because you're like, oh my goodness, I hope this doesn't end up being a witch hunt where everybody just gets accused and this is a chance to get back at your boss you were mad at type thing.
Sure.
I'm hoping that level heads will prevail and that, you know, we will look at the facts in the case on a case by case basis. Which I think we need to do. But I really do think there is, Jerry. I mean, if we look at this from a Christian perspective, if you go back to the very, you know, beginning and then the Genesis 3, the fall, there was just a total disruption of the male-female relationship where it says, for the woman, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Instead of having a partner, instead of having that relationship be beautiful and harmonious, now we have somebody who's going to rule over us or dominate us. And it's just, I think you see this misogyny that's talked about so much in our popular society. There is a root of it in the very fall in the garden in Genesis 3. There's a disruption of the male-female relationship. We're also told that there will be enmity between the woman and Satan. It's like Satan has had, he's had it out for women. ever since the garden. And so I'm not surprised that the abuse has happened. We have a very depraved society, and the weakest will be exploited.
And in the, you know, speaking about a wicked society, think about how Hollywood, which, by the way, this whole thing started with the accusations against Harvey Weinstein, you know, leading Hollywood figure of sorts. Here's a guy, I mean, here's an industry, rather, where so much of the movies and then, you know, add to that a lot of the pop music and just various aspects of the pop culture, including television programs and so forth, there's a promotion of illicit sex, of sex outside of marriage. If it feels good, baby, do it. And this has been, you know, unfortunately, it's been out there in your face for really a few decades now. And then people are living according to this terrible ethic, and then they're being turned around and being punished for, you know, not doing what they're supposed to do, which is the Christian side of things. You know what I'm saying? In fact, I wrote about this. I used the phrase Playboy ethics, Puritan consequences.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, the sexual harassment is really a symptom of a much deeper problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this exploitation of women, but even of sexuality, and using it in such a perverse way, not the way God intended for it. And you're absolutely right. I mean, if you look at some of these rap lyrics that are out there, they actually are very much promoting the rape of women. And yet we're surprised when people act on that. Or if you look at the porn industry, I read an article about 6 months ago that, honestly, after I read it, Jerry, I couldn't sleep for the next two nights because it was so upsetting. And it was how violent pornography has become. It's not like the porn that we think of that our fathers or grandfathers might have actually consumed. This is violence towards women that somehow men now are being socialized as young as 11 or 12 years old into this kind of arousal, where violence against women is what they're conditioned to be aroused by. And that, to me, again, as a woman, but also as a mother of daughters, that's shocking to me, and it's very disconcerting. And I hope that in this cultural moment, the church can really rise up and counter the misogyny that is prevalent in our society and say, we love women, we cherish women. Men, husbands, cherish your wives, protect them, protect your daughters, cherish them, honor women, value women. And if they can see that happening in the church in a unique way that is not happening in culture, and quite frankly, even with all of this coming out, it's still not going to happen in culture. When you look at the hookup culture, which is just promoting men, really abusing women and just throwing them away, discarding them like they don't even count after having sexual encounters with them, it's such a perversion of what God wanted. And so I hope and pray that the church will seize this cultural moment and will be different than the culture and show exactly what God wanted us to show, and that is the beauty of marriage and of sexuality and of what God created it to look like.
Yeah, that's great. And look at the example of Mike Pence. And he was excoriated for this by the liberals, but here is a man who, you know, basically is applying the kind of common sense, hedge your marriage, you know, build a hedge of protection around your marriage type principles. He's not going to be seen with a woman that's not his wife in public alone, you know, that kind of thing. If he needs to have a woman come to lunch, you know, let's say an associate staff member or something, he'll have someone else go with him as well. So he's never putting himself in that kind of situation. He's avoiding even the appearance of evil. And I think it's good that we, you know, get back to that ethic, you know, as well.
I fully agree. I think the Billy Graham rule, which is what he was espousing,
yes.
Is a very good rule. And it's there for the protection of men, but it's also there for the protection of women. But here's the weird thing, ironic, really, that feminists have been speaking out against this rule, saying it just enforces a glass ceiling because now men aren't taking their women subordinates to lunch, and so women are missing out on this opportunity for advancement at work. And it's absurd to me. I mean, I really, to hear feminists say that. And actually, Caitlin Beatty, who's the editor-at-large for Christianity Today, she just published a piece in the New York Times saying that as an evangelical, that she actually is against the Pence rule. And giving sort of these extreme cases, which I've never heard of anything like this, but she said she had a friend who threw out her back in her hotel room and asked a guy to, you know, used her cell phone to call a guy to help her with her bags. And he said, no, I won't come in your hotel room. And she's flat on her back, you know, not able to move. That's an extreme case. I think most men would realize in that situation, yeah, you probably go help the woman despite sure your principles. You know, there might be an exception to the rule. But by and large, it's a wonderful rule. It's there to protect us. And I think when I hear these feminists both outside the church and inside the church speaking this way, to me it just seems so foolish because, again, these are safeguards. They're not there to make women feel like they're dangerous or that they're all on the prowl against men. I don't think that's what's behind that at all. It's men recognizing I have a sin nature and I want to protect the women I'm around and also my spouse. And it's not that they don't have self-control, but it's that they just don't put themselves in tempting environments. It says flee sin, flee temptation, yep, in Scripture. And so I think, you know, it's biblical. I don't have any problem with that at all. And I think as women, we should be thanking the men in our, you know, work environment to do that, not criticizing them.
I agree. Okay, we're out of time. JulieRoys.com. Roys is spelled R-O-Y-S. The name of the book, Redeeming the Feminine Soul. And you can get more information at RedeemingTheFeminineSoul.com. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much, Jerry.
Okay,
really
great.
Enjoyed it.
Sure. Bye-bye.